Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm sure many of you know that in the 1980s, Bob Dylan had a powerful conversion experience, became a born-again Christian, and released three incredible, explicitly Christian albums. The fans hated it, but I think the body of work actually stands on its own and has stood the test of time. You got to serve somebody, Slow Train Coming, a lot of it is pretty amazing work. But what was interesting about that conversion experience, you know, Bob Dylan was nominally Jewish, raised in Minnesota, has spent time in Greenwich Village. He was totally new to this Christian community in California at that time in his life. And one of the members of that Christian community was an artist named Keith Green, who recorded many, many albums, an incredible pianist, singer, composer, sort of the Christian version of Jackson Brown and Elton John and Billy Joel all rolled into one. He lived in Tyler for a long time and sadly died in a plane crash in the 70s. But Keith Green was an Israelite in whom there was no guile. I mean, he was the real deal. He loved the Lord Jesus and wanted everybody to love Jesus as much as he did. And so Bob Dylan became a Christian and began going to these church services and hanging out with all these folks like Keith Green. And Keith saw Bob at one of these events, and there was something that Bob was doing, some area of his life that Keith Green thought he needed to, that Bob needed to shape up, needed to repent or turn around or something. And I don't know if you've ever felt compelled to give someone advice about their life, but that's what Keith Green felt like he needed to do. And he told Bob whatever he needed to tell him. And we know about this because Keith Green went home and on reflection repented of that and said in his journal, "I tried to be the Holy Spirit to Bob Dylan today." This to me is maybe a little bit like what Peter tried to do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is talking to his disciples and speaking to them about his ministry, and Peter pulls Jesus aside to say, no. But I get it, because Jesus' comments are very Eeyore. You know, Eeyore is always like, well, nobody ever wants to visit me anyways. I'll just eat this thistle. Like, he's a total downer. And that's kind of what Jesus is doing here in this story. Right before this, Jesus has asked the famous question, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter's like, "You're the Messiah, the Christ." And Jesus says, "Bingo, give this man a prize. The Holy Spirit has revealed this to you." Two thumbs up. And then, "But I'm going to suffer and all the elders will reject me and then I'm going to die." Goes from this mountaintop to this Eeyore moment. And Peter's like, no, Lord. Let's stay up on the mountaintop. Let's go for glory. You got all these magical powers. It'll be great. We'll rule Israel. Do what King David could never do. Hold the kingdom together. Be the best. And so Peter says, "No, Jesus. You're not going to lose. You're a winner. We love winners. We love to brag about winning." I remember when Donald Trump said in his first campaign, "I'm going to win so much you'll get tired of winning." And everybody's like, "Yeah!" And people got nervous when I just mentioned that. Because is he going to get political? No, I'm just saying, people like winners. Look at the entire catalog of hip-hop from its 50 years ago beginning till today. There's a whole subsection of that where rappers boast about being better than other rappers, wherever they're from. It's a huge thing. I'm the best. All those whack MCs, as Missy Elliott calls them, need to just step off. You're welcome. We like winners. We like to be winners. And Peter thinks Jesus is the winner. He's hitched his wagon to this whole Jesus project. He's left everything behind. All of them have left everything behind to follow Jesus. And he's like, "By the way, thanks for signing up for my little mission. I'm going to die. It will fail." And so, of course, Peter says, "You're on the wrong track. Not a great motivational speaker, the Lord. But Jesus is doing something in the way that he typically does, which is he runs counter to everything we think about how the world works and what life is about, what life really means. Everybody tells you you need to be a winner, be all you can be, grab all that you can, look out for number one, achieve, build, succeed, more, better, faster. You know, Peter Gabriel in that song, Big, you know, everything needs to be bigger and better. And Jesus says that life, a real life, a life of meaning, a life of wholeness, a life with integrity, a life of joy, a life where God is at the center, does not look like that. It looks like dying. If you go to Barnes & Noble, you'll find a great section on self-improvement. But I've checked. There is no self-negation section. But that is what Jesus is offering. Now, that's not to say you're terrible or that you need to feel bad about yourself, but what Jesus is saying is that the ego is full of illusion and lies. And it will lead you to all kinds of toxic paths of competition in your relationships, judgment of others, contempt towards people who don't do as well as you. If you live by that, you will be crushed by it. The never-ending demand to succeed, to be the best, to win at all costs, at all times. You'll either succeed and think you're better than other people or fail and deal with all the psychological and emotional impacts of that. You'll feel very alone. And Jesus is inviting and leading the way, actually, to say that true life is not gained through achievement and domination, but through a letting go, to resigning, to giving up, laying down your life and your whole self-improvement project, which is a little bit what Lent is about, to lean into that reality. Now, you may say, okay, well, how do I do this? How do I achieve this spiritual enlightenment you're talking about through self-negation? Well, I have two things to say about that, and then I will land this plane. The first is that life will do a lot of it for you. Richard Rohr says that God comes to you disguised as your life. And oftentimes the places that are hard and difficult and dark in life are the places where God is actually working. I think about St. Paul praying that God would remove this thorn from his side. And God saying, no, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. You never find that out if you win all the time. You only need grace if you're a sinner. You only need help if you fall. You only need rescue if you're drowning. And that's where you begin to learn who you really are and who God really is. God comes to you disguised as your life. The other thing I will say about how this looks in one's life is to put yourself in places that remind you of reality. Run as far as you can from things that are false and tell you lies, like every TV commercial you've ever seen. New and improved, this thing. Have you ever seen ads for cosmetics? You know, like Oil of Olay, like you put this stuff on, it'll change your life forever. Or, you know, the commercials, at some point Garrett will have to begin coloring his beard, and he'll watch these commercials where a man in his early 50s is coloring his beard, and he's sad, and it's black and white, and then he colors, and he goes outside, and everything is colorful, and people look at him. Those are all lies. Those are all lies. And instead of being in worlds that tell you lies, come to places that tell you the truth. And the truth, this is one, this is a place, there are other places, church basements with bad coffee and chain smokers outside, by which I mean 12-step meetings, those are other places that tell the truth. Maybe a small group Bible study is a place that tells you the truth. Maybe you have a close friend or family member that tells you the truth. But be in places that remind you of the truth that Jesus says, that if you lose your life, you will actually find it. If you try to gain your life, if you go after all the shiny things, you will actually come up empty. But if you lose your life, if you shop at the self-negation section, you will actually find joy and peace. Because Jesus gives himself up to death on a cross, and that's where he is to be found. And if you are in that place and coming into contact regularly to a place of that level of reality, you will find God, and in that place you will find rest for your souls. Let us pray. Almighty God, we desperately need rest, and we ask that you set us free from striving and winning and bring us to places of honest losing and dying, that we may rise again with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.